We're in our second half hour with Dr. Chris Breithes from he's president of Wilkes University. This is Dr. Daria Brzezinski with Children Come First, and we were talking about this area, and Chris has a wonderful vision for the future, and I asked him to talk about in the second half hour what his position is in the community and how he intends to fulfill that vision and what the Great Valley Technology Corridor is.
Well, one of the things that attracted me to come here and to stay here has been the role that Wilkes University, Wilkes College earlier, has played in helping this area develop. Dr. Eugene Farley, who was the president of Wilkes College for a period from 1937 to 1970, was one who helped launch the community college. He helped develop the Economic Development Council of Northeastern Pennsylvania, a critical player in all of this. So there was a tradition for the president at Wilkes to be an active citizen in the community, and I was told that by the search committee that found me and said, we hope you'll apply to the job at Wilkes College back in 1983. So I see myself as fulfilling a role that was laid out by my predecessors, Dr. Farley, Dr. Michelini, and Dr. Capon. In many ways, Wilkes has played the role of being a kind of private land-grant college. We develop curricula in response to the needs of the area. When there was talk of bringing the RCA plant to Mountaintop in the late 50s, as the coal industry was collapsing, even before the Knox Mine disaster, RCA said if Wilkes would develop a master's degree in chemistry and physics and eventually go to 4 years in electrical engineering, that would help make their decision to come. Well, not only did they come, and did we, and that was where we really began developing graduate education, but we began a relationship with what the RCA plant, which became Harris and then became now Intersil, in which we helped prepare entry-level engineers, and then added, in my time here, a master's degree in electrical engineering, primarily directed at some of their own employees who could bring problems that were part of the RCA Harris institution, work on those for their master's degree, and mobilize the resources of a Wilkes. We did the same in healthcare. When at the end of the 50s, again, some of the doctors in the community, Dr. Lester Sadman and Dr. Charles Myers, looked at the profile, the demographic profile of the then doctors in the area, discovered that the median age was something like 57 or 58, and they said, where are we going to be in 20 years? And from that, we started the Wilkes-Hahnemann program, and over the next 12 to 14 years, with a federally funded program, 155 students acquired their MD from Hahnemann Medical School, started at Wilkes, and at our last count, almost 80 of them were practicing medicine in this area. So, and many of them in leadership positions. We have continued that program. It stopped for a while. We've now are doing it with that we can announce continued with Hahnemann and with Syracuse University, State University of New York at Syracuse, the medical school, and with the Hershey Medical School, Penn State University, with guaranteed spots for high school seniors who have outstanding GPAs and strong SAT scores, and who are interviewed by the medical school admissions staffs of those different medical schools, so that by the time they come to Wilkes, if they succeed in those interviews, they will actually be guaranteed admission to those medical schools for those places. They have to maintain their academic work, and in a couple of those programs, they'll actually have senior year experiences, entire semester in a medical or hospital setting, where they get the full exposure to what it will be to be a doctor. We have two more medical schools we're working with. We hope to be able to announce within the next 12 months. There'll be added, so there'll be five medical schools, in addition to similar arrangements with the Osteopathic Medical School in Philadelphia and several of the specialized areas. We did all of that in response to the medical needs of this area. Our nursing medical, our master's program in gerontology was a response to the demographics you referred to. So that is our major master's program in nursing. In all these areas, what I'm able to contribute ultimately is linked back to our curriculum and to what our faculty have mobilized as resources for students in this area. But clearly, in engineering and in our environmental sciences programs, the degradation of this area as a result of the coal industry created an opportunity for us, which I got involved with because of Congressman Konjorski, to develop something we call the Earth Conservancy. And in that, we put a not-for-profit organization together. I was the original chairman of the board, and I'm still chairman of that board. And we have put together, I think, an outstanding board of local citizens, all of whom, in almost every instance, carry major institutional responsibilities. And we took over more than 16,000 acres of land, about 6,000 of which was badly scarred with open mine pits, and have developed a process of reclaiming that land, developing it in terms of model 21st century communities with national planners and national resources to fund the planning. And now we're looking at, for example, a new 2,000-acre community like Reston, Virginia, or Columbia, Maryland, which we see as 10 years out will be a reality. Parts of it are going to start almost immediately. My role in that project, which has involved me in the most incredible range of issues associated with the old coal era, and land problems and pollution problems, all the way through to the most advanced planning for this area, I'm directly involved, and our faculty with me, and our students. So our students are out working on acid mine water cleanup so that the water that runs over the coal piles and so forth has a chance to be purified before it goes back in the Susquehanna. The Susquehanna River, the greatest source of pollution of the Chesapeake Bay, comes from the 10 to 12 miles to the Wilkes-Barre area because of the heavy acid mine drainage caused by two major problems. One is the Knox Mine disaster, which flooded the mines, and all that water goes through the mines and comes back out through outfalls and flows into the Susquehanna, picking up iron and metals along the way, and the surface water that flows over coal piles and around coal piles and picks up the same kind of metals. So we've got projects which Wilkes is working on, Kings is working on, with the Earth Conservancy to build wetlands that will help purify the water. So I'm involved in environmental issues, and I say I because I'm president of the institution. I'm very actively involved with the Council of Presidents in Luzerne County, which we've just added our friend John Madden at the Penn State Hazleton campus, so that Hazleton's higher ed community gets drawn into to that up here in Luzerne County, this part of Luzerne County. And we meet, we're meeting now about at least once a month, and we're looking at consortial activities, particularly how to relate to the new Great Valley Technology Corridor I referred to, which is the result of the coming together of the Scranton Chamber of Commerce and the Wilkes-Barre Chamber of Labor and Industry, working with the Battelle Institute, done a major study of where this area is going economically, what are the strengths, what are the weaknesses, what are the industries that we could build here, what do we need from the educational institutions to do that. They're talking about a technology center of some sort, probably around Avoca. We met yesterday, the presidents of all 14 colleges and universities, and we're going to meet again within a couple of weeks, actually, to carry it a step further to say, how do we define what should be in that center as the institutions of higher education so that the business community will have us to interact with rather than defining what should the educational institutions do to provide what we need. We need to talk with them, but we need to get ourselves together first. And I challenged the group yesterday in our discussion that we've got to find ways in the cause of the economic development of this region in a 21st century way to find ways both to compete and to collaborate in ways that go against our cultures each of our institutions. I know that. And it's not a foreordained result that we'll be able to do it. I mean, it is tough, and it's going to take a lot of statesmanship from a lot of people and a lot of flexibility by the faculty of our different institutions. But I think if we focus on our students, students of all ages, those who are reprogramming themselves after 20 years in a particular industry that's now gone through change, or the entering level students, or the students who didn't finish high school but now know that if they're going to have any future, they have to know how to deal with computers, they have to know how to read, they have to know how to write. If we can focus on that student and say, how do we make our institutions, what we particularly have to offer, how do we make our institutions come within range of the students, whether it's over the internet, or it's in class experiences, it's on-site education in our big plants like Sallie Mae or RJR Nabisco or Sandvik. Whatever it is, we have to be agile and versatile together. And if we do it, we all will be winners. If we don't, some may be winners and others losers. But we, our chronic failure in this area is that we're less than the sum of our parts. What we have to become is at least equal to the sum of our parts. And the moment we do that, which I think can happen, if we're ready to bury some of our notions of sovereignty, we'll become greater than the sum of our parts. If we don't do that, my prediction as someone who came in from the outside, I've lived here now longer than any place else in my 63 years, if we don't do that, we will become a has-been area, long term. We've been in the valley of the shadow ever since the 1950s. We have the ability to come out of that, but it won't come without our merging our interests and seeing that we have got to pull together. If we pull separately, and we're very good at that, we know how to cut people off at the knees in this area like no place I've ever seen. If we find it's more important to do that than to pull together, this area will be a has-been area, a backwater, while the Poconos become a great new center of economic activity and good schools, and focused on New York and New Jersey, rather than just glancing, turning around and facing west and realize they're within half an hour of a wonderful metropolitan area, the third largest in the state of Pennsylvania.
Well, you have literally blown away every question I wanted to ask you by your insights in terms of, you know, working together. And I just, you know, there were so many criticisms about institutions of higher learning, and you've literally destroyed every conceivable notion that people have had about institutions not working together and working for the betterment of business and industry, but not the learning of the student. And you've addressed every one of those issues. I mean, you're focused on the student, you're focused on the community, and I mean, it's absolutely wonderful. I know also that within this area, the media does not help you as well. I mean, they are very much into continuing that mentality of separation rather than working together the diversities. And will you be able to survive and create this vision and this goal just with the institutions of higher learning? Do you have businesses on your side? Do you have community? I mean, you talked about the chamber in Scranton and Wilkes-Barre. I know that there was the Mason-Dixon line that I was about to ask you about, which has now been severed by this Great Valley Tech Coordination, or Wilkes-Barre and Scranton business chambers working together. And that was a myth that was here 30 years ago, that, you know, Scranton and Wilkes-Barre did not, well, Luzerne and Lackawanna County did not work together. Yet, even before that, they were a part of each other. My question is, and let me tell people, you are listening to Children Come First. This is Dr. Daria Brzezinski. We're here with the president of Wilkes University, Dr. Chris Brithus, and we're talking about what I thought we were going to talk about was the future of Wilkes and what's happening at Wilkes, but we've now been talking about the entire valley and the future of this valley and where we can go and what we can do. And my question is, can you, just the presidents of the colleges and universities working together, is it a major enough thrust for, and do you, I mean, I'm assuming you're meeting together, does that also mean that you're working together because you're all virtually vying for the same students here? Does everyone have the same mentality as you do, or are you just meeting, and are you bringing in the community leaders with you, and is this really something that is a possibility, or has this area been so in such a mindset that it would take an influx of a tremendous amount of people from the outside to be able to change it?
I thought you were going to ask if this area had been undermined, and and I think it has, by itself, and not only quite literally, physically, in the anthracite mining. I can't pretend to say that we're all on the same page, but I've just been in the second meeting with the presidents or the representatives of the 13 colleges and universities of northeastern Pennsylvania for the second meeting in a matter of 5 weeks. We have another one scheduled in 2 to 3 weeks because we've sensed the urgency of pulling certain proposals together that we then can talk about with the business community before we go into summer vacation mode. I think we're taking these initiatives because the community leaders, the business leaders of the two chambers, have come together and said, this is crucial. It's not just crucial for education, it's crucial for the economic development institutions in this area to, if you use the terrible cliche of our time, think outside the box. We have to take stock of what the new opportunities are with the telecommunications revolution that we're going through. We are literally linked to the world. We've got to overcome the parochialism that sees us in these. We were more linked 50 years ago when the interurbans were here. People were moving back and forth for jobs. In some ways, as the roads came in, we have a wonderful road network, we did not see ourselves in terms of how much we're connected. I came from Los Angeles, where as the freeways developed, the notion was you could get anywhere in 20 minutes, which with the traffic jams was not true, but psychologically, you could think about going to the San Fernando Valley, you could down to Long Beach. It was 20 to 30 minutes. That's all it was going to take. Here, to go 10 to 12 minutes through this corridor, one feels one is going from one world to another. Well, all of these efforts, as our leadership people, our business people, our government people, and our college and university people, and our school people, come together around projects of the sort that we're talking about. I think we build trust. We realize we're all dealing with the same challenges. We're realizing what those of us who travel experience. If you're 1,500 miles away from here, and you come from Wilkes-Barre, and you meet someone from Scranton, you want to embrace them because you're related. It's when we get back here that all of a sudden we become aliens to one another. Well, you, because you're a native, Terry, I'm an outsider, we need the outsiders to come in here and who know how the rest of the world works and say, you know, this is a terrific place. If you could see the contrast in some of the quality of life indicators for this area as compared to some other places the rest of us have lived, you'd know that we should focus on the strengths. And that process of focusing on the strengths comes from those of us who come from the outside. And those like you who grew up here know where all the skeletons are, left and were part of different parts of the world, and come back and realize, yes, we've got problems, and you know where those problems are, and you probably got a keener sense of where they are, but you also know what the possibilities are. This area needs those two groups of people. Because the people, and excuse the people out in radio land, this characterizes, but if you've never left here, if you've never lived anywhere, you are likely to reinforce all the negatives as part of your inheritance, something that you almost take pleasure in. And where that embrace of the negatives becomes part of your way of talking to others, you're reinforcing the single, if Roosevelt said the only thing we have to fear is fear itself, the only thing we have to fear is our negativism. And if those of us from the outside and those who came back to the area can't pull together with those who've lived here forever to reverse the negativism, then all my optimism goes out the window. You talked about the media. The media are crucial to this. We are so dependent on the media in this world, not just America, that where the media do not amplify the kind of things we're talking about and let people see that is part of the reality, along with mind subsidence and all the other negative things that we glom onto as if they're reassuring us that life really goes on because things are really bad. If we can't do that, you know, then it's grim. It happens that the six local chief executive officers of the colleges met the other day with our two local papers, had exactly this conversation. So if you're asking, are we in touch with others? Yes, these conversations are going on more than any time in my 16 years here. Very hopeful. And out of every meeting comes new ideas, new commitments to take the next step. And in all these meetings, people say, at the end, where do we meet? When do we meet next? And what should be the precise agenda for the next meeting? So just that in and of itself, that doesn't guarantee anything, but it's a necessary, if not sufficient, condition. I said to our friends at one of the papers that, you know, the challenge to you folks in looking at the Great Valley Technology Corridor and the other great things that are happening in this area is to have a new column that says, say yes. And that the people call in, write in, email in all the good things that are happening, and that you give it the same newsprint that you give to Say So.
Bravo. Let's get back in our last few minutes here talking about Wilkes University itself. Where do you see Wilkes going for the 21st century? Where do you see the face of the college, and what kinds of options will you be offering students, perhaps different than the rest of the colleges and universities in the area?
Well, we are very excited because this May we are graduating our first 62 doctors of pharmacy. It'll be the first regional-based doctoral program in northeastern Pennsylvania. And these 62 students who have just finished, are just finishing their sixth year of clinical rotations, and each of them in six different sites, so they see the full range of what's happening in pharmacy around the country. These 62 students already have multiple job offers and at very high salaries. There's a chance that we're going to see a pharmaceutical company come in this area that is drawn here in part because of our School of Pharmacy. So we are going to be attentive to the kind of curricular developments that we can undertake that will help this area and help our students stay in the area if that is their chosen desire. We've really gone through a mission and vision exercise, and while we have a broad curriculum, we're still a fairly small place, and both to strengthen our programs and to gain the kind of recognition throughout the Middle Atlantic region that we think Wilkes deserves for the high quality of its programs, we're really going to put a spotlight in the next several years on our education offerings, both undergraduate and graduate, with a heavy emphasis on educational leadership and on the uses of technology to help students learn. That's going to be one. And the second is going to be healthcare-related programs. It involves our pre-med programs, involves our nursing programs, involves the pharmacy program, involves our affiliation agreements in podiatry, optometry, osteopathic medicine. And the third is going to be in computer technology, information technology, building on our strong math and computer science program, but also our engineering programs, both in the environmental area, where we have probably the most comprehensive GIS, geographical information systems, center under one roof in the state of Pennsylvania, which is all part of our work with the Earth Conservancy and now the American Heritage Rivers Program and Vice President Gore's special six projects to demonstrate the power of GIS technology for analysis, whether it's urban planning, setting up 911 systems by counties, and so on. With all of that, we see the information technology, computer engineering kinds of needs of our larger society to be met by the kind of programs that we are going to launch here. Those are the three areas. We're also doing some exciting things in business in terms of entrepreneurship with our Alan P. Kirby Center for Free Enterprise and Entrepreneurship. We are about to have a digital capacity in our TV studios so that students, not just communication student majors, but other students who want to add digital broadcast experience, working with digital video creation, can do that as well. And we continue with the print journalism part of our communication major. We are continuing our commitment to the visual and the performing arts in our beautiful Dorothy Dixon Arts Center for the performing arts, with dance, music, theater, and art. And we are continuing with our strong liberal arts programs, which are the base of our education preparation of teachers. If you are going into education at Wilkes, you take a history major, a biology major, a chemistry major, economics, whatever, and through those discipline majors plus the education methods courses that you have, you'll be prepared. It's one of the few in the state that are like this. We've always been this way. It's now being called for by all the national studies to do it this way. On top of that, for all of our students, as we revise our core curriculum, will be a heavy emphasis on the use of technology. So that our not only are we helping the teachers up and down eastern Pennsylvania learn how to use the full range of technology to help their students learn, our education majors are going to be leaving Wilkes with the capacity to be leaders for technology usage in the school districts they go to. We're on the brink in this area of a major turnover of teachers as large number of retirements take place. And we think that a lot of our local students and our students who come from outside the area, who love the area, are going to be part of that leadership group of the new teaching force of the 21st century.
I'd like to acknowledge it's very impressive, your response to change, because generally institutions of higher learning do not have a quick response to changes in the business community and the community at large. I mean, it takes committees and conversations and one thing after another to change and respond to community needs. And I'd just like to acknowledge you for your tremendous turnaround time with response to the needs of the community. I mean, I don't know how you do that in an institution. So, how many students do you have here?
We have about 1,700 full-time undergraduates, an additional 500 part-time students, undergraduates. And then we have, in addition to the 4,000 teachers who are taking our master's level courses in educational technology, which are taught, by the way, mostly in their own school buildings, not here on the Wilkes campus. But in addition to that program, which is just larger than everything else around here right now, responding to a felt need, by the way, and we're doing this at the state rate, the same rate that is charged by the state system of higher education, so that the school districts will reimburse that amount, so that teachers have the incentive to take the courses for their own advancement, to help their school districts help their kids. But beyond that, we have about 1,700 graduate students in our various graduate programs. We have a large MBA program, which we offer on the weekends, so we have people coming from as far as New York City and Rochester, New York, who will come down here because it fits once every 3 weeks. They can take the entire weekend and make real progress towards their MBA. So we're working on that as well. We have to be agile to meet the student population that's out there, that's of every shape and description and age. We will be using the full range of distance learning to meet that student body that's out there.
Again, we've been visiting with Dr. Chris Brises, from the president of Wilkes University. You have been listening to Children Come First, and I want to thank you for joining us today, taking an hour out of your busy schedule. I know. You may call us if you'd like more information at 877-PRO-KIDS. That's 877-PROKIDS. Or PROKIDS at RLC.net, PROKIDS at RLC.net. And where can they call you with regards to information or email you for Wilkes?
You can reach us by calling 1-800-WILKES-U. In addition, my email